بسم الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. I'd like to begin this evening now a second lecture concerning the topic of Mustalah al-Hadith, or an introduction to Mustalah al-Hadith. Last week in the first lecture we discussed briefly some points of introduction to the topic of Ulum al-Hadith, or the sciences of Hadith. And we said that we are going to use as the basis for this short course the book by Sheikh Suhaib Hassan Abdul Ghaffar, his book, An Introduction to the Science of Hadith. And that book is a very brief summary of some of the matters related particularly to Mustalah Hadith, which is one branch of the branches of Mustalah Hadith. And last week we said, we discussed first the importance of this study is due to the fact of the importance of the Sunnah and Islam, in Islam. And we showed some of the verses from Quran and Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing the importance of the Sunnah, and that the Sunnah is the second source of legislation in Islam, the second source of the Sharia, along with the Quran, not to be separated from the Quran, but that they go together. And we also mentioned a general overview of the sciences of Hadith, and we said that of the sciences of Hadith is that which deals with the texts, the books which collected the texts of Hadith, which is in Arabic called Al-Mutun, the texts or the narrations or the reports of the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is referred to as Al-Mutun, those books which collected his sayings and actions and approvals. And we said that Al-Mutun, it is the plural. Mutun is the plural of Matin. And we said also that a Hadith has two parts, the text of the Hadith, the words which have been reported, which is the Matin, and that's what this section deals with, Al-Mutun. And the other part of it is the chain of narrators, or the Isnad. The text of the Hadith, that which is reported, and the chain of narrators through which it is reported. So the first part of the sciences of Hadith is Al-Mutun, the books that report to us the text of the sayings and actions of the Prophet ﷺ, such as Al-Arba'in al-Nawawi, the 40 Hadith, Al-Riyad al-Salihin, the Gardens of the Righteous, and so on, Sahih al-Bukhari or Muslim and other such books. And the second category is Al-Shuruh, the plural of shuruh. Shuruh is the plural of sharh. And this is a word that we are all familiar with. Sharh, it means explanation. So the book in which the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ are explained are called kutub al-shuruh, the books which contain the explanations, discussions, clarifications of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The third category is the category that we will concern ourselves with in this study. It is al-mustalah, or the technical terminologies or technical classifications of the hadith. And the classification of the hadith into different categories according to different factors, whether looking at the chain of narrators or the text of the hadith or other such factors, the hadith are classified, and these terminologies or these classifications is primarily what is dealt with in al-mustalah. Another category of the sciences of hadith is at-takhrij. At-takhrij, it means the extraction or identification of the sources of a hadith. يعني identifying a particular hadith, for example, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Where did that hadith, where was it collected? What are the primary sources where it was reported? يعني we would say it was reported in the Sahih al-Bukhari, for example. Or another hadith, for example, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Where is that hadith from? We have to look into the books or the source books to see that hadith is reported in Bukhari? No. Where is it then? Is it in Sahih Muslim? Is it in Sunan Abu Dawud? We will try to find all the source books, and when we identify all the people who collected it in their books, this is called takhrij, identifying its source. And as well, actually, part of takhrij, in reality, the complete takhrij, also includes investigating ar-rijal, the narrators or the reporters, in order to be able to determine the grade of the hadith, to say that it's sahih or hasan or da'if or whatever. Looking at the source that it came from, and also examining ar-rijal. And we said ar-rijal, or ilm ar-rijal, rijal is the plural of rajul, man, a man. But it can be a man or a woman, because the reporters of hadith were not only men, they were also women. One of the most prolific narrators of hadith was a woman, Aisha radiallahu anha. So ar-rijal, it means the identification and critical classification of the narrators of hadith. يعني the reporters of the hadith, to look at their biographies to identify whether they were accurate narrators, whether they were trustworthy reporters, and so on. So this at-takhrij, looking at the sources, and ar-rijal, looking at the narrators, these are also two aspects or two of the sciences of ulum al-hadith. Then we mentioned some preliminary definitions, and those definitions we will repeat again and again and again until they stick with us. Actually, not all of them are essential right now, but these are some of the important definitions. The first of them is ilm al-mustalah, and it is the knowledge or the science of the principle and rule by which the condition or state of the isnad, chain of narrators, and the metin, text, may be known in reference to its acceptance or rejection. Yani, the rules or principles that help us to identify what is the condition or state of a particular chain of narrators or the text of a hadith, the words that are reported or the actions that are reported or the approvals that are reported from the Prophet ﷺ, to know whether that chain of narrators or that text is acceptable or unacceptable. Is it accepted or rejected? These rules and these principles which help us to identify, to distinguish what is acceptable or not acceptable, these rules and these principles are what is known as mustalah al-hadith. It is the knowledge of these rules and principles. The rules and principles are what we refer to as ilm al-mustalah or mustalah hadith. The subject matter of mustalah hadith, it is the text or the sanad or isnad, the chain of narrators, and the metin or the text in consideration of whether or not it is acceptable or unacceptable. And that's what mustalah hadith deals with, the determination of whether or not a particular chain of narrators is an acceptable chain, or whether or not the text of the hadith is an acceptable text or not. The benefit of mustalah hadith, and this is very, very important, the benefit of mustalah hadith is the ability to distinguish between the hadith, those ahadith which are authentic, and those which are unauthentic or weak. Yani, mustalah hadith enables one to be able to distinguish between the acceptable hadith and the unacceptable hadith. Those which are strong, those which are weak. Those which are authentic, those which are fabricated. This is the main benefit and primary objective of the study of mustalah hadith, in order to be able to determine a hadith if it is authentic or not. Should we attribute it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? Then the important definitions that we took after that, al-hadith, al-khabar, and al-athar. These definitions you have on your handout sheet, but let me just say in brief, the most important thing is the technical definition. Al-hadith, the technical definition of al-hadith is that which is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether his words, actions, or approvals, that which is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other two terms, al-khabar and al-athar, they are similar in meaning. Each of them has more than one meaning. Al-Khabar and Al-Athar, one of their meanings is the same as Hadith. Yani all of these three words have a common meaning. Al-Hadith, Al-Khabar, Al-Athar, all of them may refer to that which has been attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. The difference between them is that Al-Khabar and Al-Athar have a second meaning. Some people use the word Al-Khabar to refer to that which is reported from other than the Prophet. And in one of its meanings, you can say the Khabar means that which is reported from the Prophet. But it also has a second meaning. Some people used it with a different meaning. They said Al-Khabar refers to that which is reported from other than the Prophet ﷺ. And likewise, Al-Athar also has that similar meaning. Yani Al-Athar may also be that which refers to something which is reported from other than the Prophet ﷺ, or specifically the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. So Khabar and Athar, sometimes they have the same meaning as Hadith, that which is attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, and sometimes they have a second meaning, that which is attributed to other than Muhammad, that which is attributed to other than the Prophet ﷺ. This is the important thing, that these two words, Khabar and Athar, sometimes they may refer to the same as Hadith, and sometimes they may refer to other than the meaning of Hadith. Then we have Al-Isnad and Al-Sanad. And Al-Isnad and Al-Sanad, both of them share a common meaning. Both of them may refer to the actual chain of narrators, which extends back to the text. And this meaning is the same as Sanad. Yani Sanad and Al-Isnad, both of them may refer to the chain of narrators. The hadith, for example, that's narrated from Imam Malik, from An-Nafi'i, from Abdullah ibn Umar, from the Prophet ﷺ, this is the chain of narrators, the people who it was reported through. This may be referred to as As-Sanad, and it may also be referred to as Al-Isnad. These definitions are found in the book that we will study, but throughout the book, not in one place. That's why we made them as preliminary definitions on this paper, so that they will be in front of you quickly. Then we also had some other terminologies which are not of the utmost importance, and Muhaddith and Al-Hafiz and Al-Hakim, then you can review them. But try to pay attention, careful attention to these definitions, and try to at least understand the technical meaning of these definitions. Also, we had a list of important English references for the science of Hadith, and the first three are the most important of them: An Introduction to the Science of Hadith, which is the book of Sheikh Suhaib Hassan, which we are using as the text for our course of study. The second of them is Criticism of Hadith Among Muslims with Reference to Sunan Ibn Majah, also by Sheikh Suhaib Hassan, which is a bigger book and is a little more technical. It's a study, a research, and it's a very, very useful and important book. The third of them is Studies in Hadith, Methodology and Literature by Mustafa Al-Azami, or Muhammad Mustafa Al-Azami, and it is also a very, very useful book concerning our topic of study, Mustalah Hadith. It is one of the important books available in English. The other books are also useful. Each of them has its own benefit, but these first three are the most important, and whoever may be able to get a copy of them, it will indeed be useful as a reference and for further study. In fact, some of the sisters are ordering some of these books. If any of the brothers would like to get any of these books, most of them are available, but the first three are the most important. You can let us know at the end of the class, and we will pass that on to the sisters who are ordering some of these books from England. This evening, we would like to continue with some introductory remarks that further clarify what is Mustalah Hadith and what we will be covering in our brief course. Because, of course, the topic of Mustalah Hadith is a very big and wide topic, and we cannot cover all of it. But we will try to take those aspects of Mustalah Hadith that are the most practical and immediately usable. Yani those things that you can use immediately and benefit from them immediately. There are other aspects of Mustalah Hadith that are more advanced aspects of Mustalah Hadith and are not so easily usable And they will take more time for us to cover. But in any case, the topic of Mustalah Hadith that we are going to deal with, we will talk about that. The first point in the lecture tonight that we want to deal with is that Mustalah Hadith, it is one of the branches of Ulum al-Hadith. As we said in last week's lecture, the Ulum al-Hadith, or the sciences of Hadith, are more than one. And from amongst them is Al-Mustalah. The others, which we mentioned, is Al-Mutun, the text, those books which collect the text of the Hadith alone. Number two, Al-Shuruh, the explanations of the books of Hadith, or the explanations of the Hadith. Al-Takhrij, identification of the sources for a particular Hadith, yani identifying that a particular Hadith is reported in Al-Bukhari, and Muslim, and Abu Dawud, and Tirmidhi, and so on. And likewise, Takhrij actually should also include some reference to Ilm al-Rijal, or the biographies of the Rijal, the biographies of the narrators, identification and grading of the narrators in a chain. And the identification of the reporters in a chain of narrators, whether they are reliable or unreliable, and so on, dealing with their biographies. This is Ilm al-Rijal. And actually in Takhrij, not only we identify the source books where the Hadith has been reported originally, but also, it should also include something related to the narrators in the chain or the isnad, so that we will know whether or not that Hadith is graded as Sahih or Da'if or Hasan or Mawdu'a or whatever. Number two, an outline of what we will cover in this course. The first subject matter that we will deal with, or the first category, and I tried to divide Mustalah Hadith into categories, the important categories, that so that we can put it in perspective. One of those categories is relating to the number of narrators or reporters at each level in the chain. And a chain of narrators in a Hadith first starts with the Sahabi, the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, who heard what he said or saw him doing something, etc. The first level is Sahabi, or Sahaba, the companion. The second level is the Tabi'un, those who heard from Sahaba. The third level is Atba' al-Tabi'in, so on, those who heard it from the Tabi'un, and so on. So at each level, we will consider the Hadith from the number of reporters or narrators that are on each level of the chain. So that a Hadith, from this perspective, might be divided into two types of Hadith. A, al-khabar al-mutawatir, and B, al-khabar al-ahad. Al-khabar al-mutawatir we will discuss in detail, but it simply means a hadith. Here, the Shaykh has described some of these words with English definitions that are not always necessarily clear. But they give you some idea what the meaning of the word is about. We have to actually now explain the definitions of each of these words so that they will be crystal clear what they mean with examples. But in any case, al-khabar al-mutawatir, he translates it as consecutive. It means that in consecutive levels, or on every level, that hadith, it continuously or consecutively contained many reporters at every level. Yani when a hadith is reported through many chains of narration, many, such that it is unlikely or almost impossible to believe that the people who reported it could have conspired together to lie. That's how many people, different chains reported it. That's considered as al-khabar al-mutawatir. It has many, many chains of narrative. And we will discuss it in detail, but now we are just introducing the idea. Number two, al-khabar al-ahad. Al-khabar al-ahad, it is single or isolated. It means a hadith that came from a few chains of narration, as opposed to mutawatir. Mutawatir came from many chains. Al-ahad came from a few chains, one or two or three or four, a small number of chains. Al-khabar al-ahad, it is divided into three types. Al-mashhur, famous. Al-aziz, rare or strong. And al-ghareeb, scarce or strange. And these are sort of technical definitions of these words, or I mean linguistic definitions, but the technical definition in Mustalah, inshallah, we will explain as we go along. In any case, al-mashhur, it is, yani, we will see, we will come to know that al-mashhur is one of the three divisions of al-khabar al-ahad, yani those hadith which only have a few chain of narrators. Al-mashhur, it refers to the one that has at least three or more chains of narrators, or three or more reporters in every level, al-mashhur. We will discuss it in detail, and all of this is contained in the book. But now we are just doing introduction. Al-Aziz, it should have two narrators in every level. It should come from at least two narrators in every level. And al-gharib means that it has one narrator on every level or on any one level in the chain. Yani a hadith that contains a single narrator on any level, even if it's only one level, and the other levels it has two or three or ten, the other levels don't matter. What we consider is the least number in any level. If the least number in any level is one, that's gharib. If the least number in any level is two, that's aziz. If the least number is three, that's mashhur. And if it has many, many chains of narratives, then that's mutawatir. Okay, this is a general idea related to the number of narrators or reporters at any level in the chain. It will be divided into mutawatir and al-ahad. And this is important to us, especially as we mentioned on many occasions, in reference to matters of aqidah. Because some of the people who deviated from the sunnah said that we cannot accept aqidah from a hadith that's reported from ahad. Ahad hadith, not mutawatir. Only if it's mutawatir, they said, we can use it in aqidah. So this is an important benefit from the study of the hadith of mutawatir and ahad. We will come to know that many of the hadith are not mutawatir. Most hadith are not mutawatir, which means that those people, because of their deviation, actually rejected much of the sunnah in matters of aqidah that are contained in the hadith that are not mutawatir. And we will find that many of those hadith which are not mutawatir, which are ahad, are hadith which contain information of aqidah that we accept as part of our deen, but they reject it because they don't accept hadith ahad. The second consideration is relating to the acceptance or rejection of a particular hadith. Yani, the second consideration, how we will look at the hadith, are those hadith which are acceptable or those hadith which are rejected or unacceptable. A, al-khabr al-maqbool. It means, maqbool, it means acceptable report or acceptable report. B, al-khabr al-mardood. It means rejected report. So there are two types related to the matter of whether or not a hadith is accepted or unaccepted. There's al-maqbool, the acceptable report, and there's mardood, the rejected report. Under A, al-khabr al-maqbool, the acceptable reports, we have three or four categories that are mentioned here. Under acceptable reports, we have four categories. The two main categories is al-sahih and al-hasan. The two main categories of acceptable hadith is al-sahih, which he translates here as sound or authentic, and al-hasan, good. Okay, these are the two main categories, and each of them has a subcategory. Al-sahih means a hadith that is very, very strong in its authenticity, and we accept it as a proof in our deen, whether in matters of law or in matters of aqidah and so on. Al-hasan, it means also a reliable and good hadith which is acceptable to be used in matters of law and in matters of aqidah. But its degree of authenticity is less than as-sahih. It's not as strong as sahih. But we accept it after examination as being a legitimate report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore we can use it in our religion in matters, in legal matters, as well as in aqidah. So as-sahih and al-hasan are the two main categories of the al-khabr al-maqbool, or the reports which are acceptable. They each have a subcategory, sahih li ghayrihi and hasan li ghayrihi. As-sahih li ghayrihi, it means that it is recognized or considered as sahih due to the support of other narrations. And al-hasan li ghayrihi, it means that it is considered as hasan due to support from other narrations. That means that if we say a hadith is sahih li ghayrihi, it means that that hadith by itself would not have been considered sahih. It would have been hasan, because it's not that strong. But when we found support from other narrations of hadith that bring the same meaning, because of that, it's raised up from hasan to the level of sahih. But we call it sahih li ghayrihi, because it wasn't sahih independent by itself, but it only became to the level of sahih due to support from other narrations. And likewise, al-hasan لغيره, it means a hadith that wasn't initially by itself, independent by itself, it wasn't considered as hasan. Hasan لغيره, it means it's hasan due to support from other narrations. That means that hadith, it was in the level of da'if, but slight weakness, not a major weakness. It has a slight weakness, but originally by itself we said that it is da'if. But because we found other supporting narrations from other hadith which support the meaning that came in that hadith, we came to accept it as being a hasan hadith. But hasan, due to support from other narrations. So we say hasan li ghayrihi. Okay? These are the main categories of the khabar al-maqbool or acceptable report. As-sahih and al-hasan, and under as-sahih and hasan are subcategories, as-sahih li ghayrihi and hasan li ghayrihi. B, al-khabar al-mardood, rejected report. Under rejected reports, actually there are many categories, but the main category of rejected reports is da'if, and some scholars also classify it under rejected reports al-mawdu'. But actually mawdu', it means fabricated or forged, and in reality, al-hadith al-mawdu' is not considered along with al-da'if. Because it's da'if, it is a hadith which has some major defect in it. So we don't accept it as a proof in our religion. But it is still possible that it could have been a saying of the Prophet ﷺ. Except that because there's a break in the chain or there's a reporter who had a bad memory. So we are careful not to attribute it to the Prophet. We fear that that person had a bad memory or the break in the chain. It may be someone missing, a missing link, who is a bad narrator and we don't know who he is. Therefore that hadith, to take precautions, is classified as da'if. So we don't use it as a proof. But there's really the possibility that it could have been really a statement or an action of the Prophet ﷺ. But because we are careful, the scholars were very careful in accepting things that were reported from the Prophet ﷺ, because it is a matter of deen. It is a matter of deen. For that reason, when there is a doubt, then we've said da'if, we don't take it. As for al-mawdu' is fabricated. For sure it is not a statement of the Prophet ﷺ. Al-mawdu' is fabricated, that which is forged. It is a lie that someone attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, fabricated. It's not a hadith at all. There's no any consideration that it may be a hadith or a saying of the Prophet ﷺ. So under this category, al-khabr al-mardud, we said we have the hadith al-da'if. And the types of da'if hadith are many, and we will discuss them as we go along. Here, related to al-khabr al-mardud or da'if hadith, we said that there are three factors, two main factors that are the reasons why a hadith may be rejected or considered da'if. There are two main considerations. The first of them is a break in the chain of narrators. And the second of them is critical remark concerning any one of the narrators. These are the two important considerations. And the third consideration is al-jihala bil-rawi. It means that a particular narrator or reporter, that person's credibility has not been confirmed. Jahala literally means unknown or ignorant. But it doesn't really mean here that the person is absolutely unknown. But what it more importantly means is that person's credibility as a reporter of hadith has not been confirmed. Therefore, he comes under this category. The actual technical meaning of jahala we will discuss in detail. It is primarily of two types, al-ayn wal-hal. Yani, the person who only one person reported from him, and they didn't give him accreditation or certification. And al-hal, jihalat al-hal, it means that the person, two or more narrated from him, we know who he is, at least two or more people narrated from him, but they didn't certify him. The first one is only one person narrated from him, we know who he is. But only one person narrated from him and nobody certified him. And the other one, two or more narrated from him, but also he wasn't certified. So this one is called, this comes under the category of jihala. It is literally an unknown narrator, but it's not really unknown. But what is unknown is his credibility. Nobody has certified him. Anyway, we will discuss this in more detail as we go along. Concerning the first two reasons for hadith to be rejected or considered da'if, we said that they are breaking the chain, or critical marks concerning the narrative. As for a break in the chain of narrative, there are many types of hadith or classifications of hadith due to a break in the chain. From amongst them is al-mu'allaq, hanging or suspended. It means that there is a break in the chain from the one who collected the hadith, such as Al-Imam Abu Dawud. He collected hadith in his book, the Sunan of Abu Dawud. If he narrated a hadith without reporting the sheikh who he reported from, or his sheikh and the sheikh of his sheikh, from that side of the one who collected it in the book of Abu Dawud or Bukhari or Muslim, if the break is there, this is called mu'allaq. In any case, we will discuss this as we go along in more detail. Al-Mursal is a hadith, he translates it as harid, but actually the meaning of Mursal, it is a hadith which has been reported primarily from a tabi'i, student of Sahaba, second generation of Muslims, reported from a tabi'i, directly from the Prophet. Yani a tabi'i like Hassan al-Basri or Sa'id ibn Musayyib said, the Prophet said, or the Prophet did. That means it's Mursal. There's a break, because tabi'i is a person who didn't meet the Prophet. He never saw the Prophet and he didn't hear anything from him. How can he say the Prophet said? It has to be somebody else that he heard it from who heard it from the Prophet. So this is a Mursal hadith. It means the tabi'i narrates a hadith and he doesn't identify who is the Sahabi that he heard it from. Anyway, this requires some explanation. When we get to Mursal, we will discuss it in more detail, but this is a general idea. What is Mursal hadith? There's also Mursal Sahabi. It means a Mursal that's not transmitted from a Tabi'i, but a Mursal that's transmitted from a Sahaba, from a Sahabi, a companion of the Prophet ﷺ, but it's Mursal because that Sahabi didn't hear the hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, but he perhaps heard it from another Sahabi. So there's also a break in the chain. The classification of hadith, according to Mursal, if it is Mursal of Sahabi, it may be accepted, generally. But if it is Mursal of Tabi'i, it is generally rejected, except in a few cases. And then we also have Munqati'a, which means a chain that has a break in it, whether in the beginning or in the middle or in the end. And we have Al-Mu'adal, weakened, it means also it has a break in the chain. But the difference between Al-Munqati'a and Al-Mu'adal, Al-Mu'adal, it means that it has two consecutive links missing in the chain, two consecutive links. Whereas Munqati'a, it may have one link missing, or it may have two, but not consecutive. It may have a break in the beginning and a break in the end. But when they are consecutive, two consecutive breaks in the chain, then this is called Mu'adal. And all of these will be defined with more detail and with examples so that they will be crystal clear. Concerning critical remarks of the narrators related to their dhabt, their accuracy in narrating, or their adala, their trustworthiness in deen, whether they were religious, yani observing the requirements of the deen, they were known to be religious or pious people, their adala, or their accuracy in narrating, their memory. Concerning these two matters, some of the scholars made remarks concerning the reporters of hadith, and they said that a person had a bad memory, or a person was a corrupt person, immoral, etc. If they said such statements like this concerning, critical remarks concerning a narrator, this is a cause of the hadith to be rejected, whether his accuracy in narrating or his character in deen. And the hadith under this category are many. From amongst them is the person who was known to be a liar. That hadith which contains in the chain of narrators one person who was known to be a liar, the hadith is rejected. It's considered as mawdu'ah, fabricated.